I think that's what you should expect. And if you don't want to do that, then you should go, I don't know, do a pre-road race or something. Yeah, that's a little bit the spirit of TCR, to discover the unknowns and to expect things that maybe nobody expected as well. Yeah.
Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the 12th edition of the Transcontinental Race, supported by our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design. Day 6 at TCR number 12, and after completing an unexpected river crossing last night, Robin Gimperla, cap number 1, has passed through control point 2 and continues to head south, well ahead of the chasing pack. Today, race reporter Jake Thorpe and race director David Eyre are poised to welcome those riders into CP2.
Good morning, David.
Morning.
How are we doing this morning?
Feeling pretty good. Had 7 hours sleep last night, so I feel a bit like a new man. I feel revived. Like I've been in the cold spring waters of the Tatra Mountains.
Interestingly enough, that's where some of our riders were last night. Robin, of course, wading through them. But where are we going to be today?
We're going to be based up at control point 2 for the course of today. So we have a control point photographer there, Veronica, but she also has her bike with her, so we're going to send her out into the parkour. So she'll be able to meet the riders coming in, and then our team will be based in that control point, a beautiful mountain chalet up at the top of a slightly stiff climb to get up there as well, which should be a fun day. So yeah, we're expecting a lot of the top 10 to be passing through over the course of the day. Maxim Aguta's already been through CP2, but there's plenty of others following closely behind, so more of a chance to chat to them, hear about how things were for them overnight and what their plans are for the day. So yeah, we sit still while they move on, but we'll be chasing further south again by this evening.
With Max Agut, cap 51, the second rider to pass through CP2, both Nicolas Châtelet, cap 126, and Jonas Varest, cap 368, also arrive, get their brevet card stamped, and quickly depart in third and fourth position. Around 2 hours later, Joss Koop, cap 63, becomes the fifth rider into CP2. He speaks to Jake.
So yes, I'm seeing the evidence of parkour 2B on your shoes. How did you find it?
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the resounding memory? How would you describe it to those who are coming?
Next time, bring a mountain bike. Yeah. It was quite challenging, especially on a road bike with 32 mil tires. A bit slippery, but in the end managed, so I'm quite happy with that.
And how are you feeling for the road ahead? What are you looking forward to?
I hope I have the same legs as I had today, but yeah, it comes and goes. So
you've made great progress since the ferry though. You've been really pushing through the field. Was it a good rest you had?
Yeah, well, that's my focus, have a good rest and then try to push during the day.
Yeah,
see where it brings me.
Brilliant. Are you keeping an eye on tracking at all, or are you sort of not letting it impact strategy?
Every now and then, but I cannot really be bothered by where I am because I have no influence on the others.
Yeah.
Only myself, so that's what I need to manage, and then we'll see.
Martin Moritz, cap number 2, reaches CP2 after pushing through the tricky conditions on the parkour. Despite finding things tough, he's the sixth rider to arrive at the control point.
How was the night?
Hot rubber. Stupid decisions were made.
It's tough, right? That mud.
Yeah, and it was foggy. It was first night all over again. So you can copy that.
Really, swings and roundabouts this race for you, hey Martin?
Yeah. And you race like crazy for 2,500 kilometers. Then you get here, you play in the pig's backyard, and you don't see the connection. And it's just why?
Yeah. Did you get some good rest in a hotel still?
No.
None?
I got some rest, yeah, but it was, yeah, lots of time wasted.
Yeah.
But here we are. Still, well, I can complain. I shouldn't complain. I signed up for this.
For these leading riders, CP2 comes roughly halfway through the race. It's been fast so far, and the days in the saddle are inevitably starting to show. John Wedlake is from Albion, one of our race partners. He cycled all the way to CP2 with Veronica, our roving photographer, and Chris as CP manager. He's getting a first-hand view of how the riders are shaping up as they go into the second half of TCR.
So, John, what are your thoughts on how people are looking as they're coming into CP2?
Yeah, it's been a sort of steady sort of degradation of happiness. It's like when Pelle came through, Robin came through last night, he was really glowing. He was like, he'd dealt with 2B, parkour 2B really well. Didn't seem to bother him too much. And I actually rode it a couple of nights before, and it was very sticky peanuts, but a mud sort of thing. And then you go through this field. So it is a tricky section. I think as the riders sort of come through later on, especially the ones who've started that section with their first thing in the morning, not so many miles in their legs, it's a tricky section to start your day with when you know you've got the rest of the day to go. So yeah, as the riders come through the rest of the day, you'll see people sort of maybe the mood will change and they've kind of dealt with it a bit better. But the early ones have struggled, I would say.
With Control Car 1 positioned at CP2, our leader, Robin Gimperle, is off putting more kilometres between him and the team. David explains how they managed to eventually catch up with Robin yesterday evening.
So we were driving towards CP2 last night, and we were driving down a kind of a main road, and looking at the tracking map, I realised that our route was about to intersect with Robin's. And so we decided spontaneously that we were going to chase and see if we could find him. And we were driving up and down this road and down little side roads, because he's not allowed on the main road because it's a banned road for the riders, so I have to take like the kind of much quieter back roads. The dot was pinging and we were kind of driving past and being left behind, and like we were starting to think that maybe it wasn't going to happen. And we did a U-turn and turned around, and as we did that we saw the flashing of a red tail light ahead of us, so quickly pulled in, and we found Robin clambering down a bankside into a river to wade through a stream and then like cross over and climb up the other side to avoid a banned road. So yeah, it was a unique way of getting around some of the restrictions that the riders face. But I suppose Robin, with his Silk Road Mountain Race river crossings, probably found the ankle to mid-shin water levels of this far less daunting.
Robert Muller rolls into Control Point 2 after another personal adventure on the road. Ever resourceful, he's also invented a new way to make couscous.
Yeah, today when I started at 5 in the morning on a steep climb, suddenly it made an awful noise. The chain went through and the biggest two chain rings broke off. So these two.
Wow. Okay, and you needed that climbing gear riding up the steep slope to this control point anyway.
Yeah, and then this was loose and hanging around, and I had to find a way to remove it without the tools, of course.
How did you manage it?
I had a few stones and... I hammered on it with stones, and then I broke it off.
Wow! And then you had to. How did you travel to the bike shop then?
Yeah, I could still use the 9 gears below. Only the top 3 were missing, and on all the steep climbs, I just walking. I was walking.
How far did you have to travel to the bike shop?
It was here, at the bottom of the in this village. Okay. So all the parkour to, I don't know. Many hours. So, and I gave up on my shoes because I had the hotel slippers for the walking parts, but there was so much walking and mud and stuff, and then I throw the slippers away and did everything with my shoes, and now these shoes are finished.
What's this on the back of your bike, Robert?
This is my couscous cooker. So I put couscous and water in, and then I let the sun shine on it, and I can eat couscous. And sometimes I add some flavor and some like
spices or something like this.
Cheese, creamy cheese or okay. Stuff like this. Yeah.
Is it tasty?
Yesterday was very tasty. Yeah. Yesterday I enjoyed it. Today I have not tried.
Jocelyn Roth, Cat 114, has been riding a brilliant race and was in second position several times over the first few days. However, over the last 24 hours, his progress has been derailed by mechanical problems.
You've not had the easiest time since I last saw you, eh, Jocelyn?
No.
No.
Not the greatest. 15 hours in Lubina. I had a puncture. I put I'm tubeless, so I put a plug. It didn't work. Second one didn't work. And then, since there was the gravel, I put an inner tube in. That's it's either the because I put the plug that the hole was too big, or I just put a silex stone inside my tire, and so my two inner tubes burst open, and it was 7 o'clock, and I had one spare one, and I didn't want to try to go with it and be in the night anyway. So I was next to a city, and it was 7 o'clock, and the bike shop opened at 10 o'clock in the morning. So there you are.
Chris is another one of our volunteers at Control Point 2, having twice previously been at the start line himself at TCR.
Chris, you're heading up things this year at CP2, and you kind of know what the riders are going through, right? I mean, this is not your first experience with the TCR.
No, I've rode in 2019 and in 2023 successfully, once solo and once as a pair, and also started in 2025, but was unsuccessfully scratched very early. But yeah, I've felt the pain, and yeah, I know what they're going through.
How did the experience for you change as solo versus a pair?
Well, from solo, I had a few meltdowns, like couldn't really cope all the things my brain was doing in as solo, and riding as a pair, like with my friend Mark Sparkles, he sort of helped manage my head, and he took a load of things like booking hotels, interacting with in shops, doing all those things, the things that I was finding difficult in 2019. So yeah, it was good. It was a really, really good change. Really good rider partner.
And how is it now sitting the other side of the desk?
It's nice. It's relaxed. It's fun. You see the race unfolding. It's easier to understand what's going on in the whole race because you can see the whole race rather than just concentrating on what you're experiencing. So yeah, it's nice. It's a nice CP. It's a nice area. Lots of good, you know, nice volunteers around, and yeah, it's all good.
Parkour 2A and 2B provide a little mixed terrain for our riders, including gravel sections that are somewhat trickier than the champagne stuff in Norway. Tim De Vitter, cap number 3, is a TCR veteran who's seen it all before.
Well, I think it was a parkour TCR worthy. It was not, I mean, I've had more horrible parkours, like the infamous Albanian one. That was way worse than this. So, I mean, if you want to do TCR, you should be able to do this. It was very much doable. There were some challenging parts, but yeah, it's okay. It was fun. Yeah.
This is what you get when you sign up. Is that what you're saying?
I think that's what you should expect. And if you don't want to do that, then you should go, I don't know, do a pre-road race or something. Yeah, that's a little bit the spirit of TCR, to discover the unknowns and to expect things that maybe nobody expected as well. Yeah,
yeah, brilliant.
Another rider into CP2, Omar De Felice, cap 195.
And how's your pacing feeling, Omar? Obviously, when we chatted on the ferry, you were saying you were keeping things measured, keeping things so that
I'm trying to keep the right pace for having Kalamata. But they are continuing going so fast. They are all going so fast. I'm so curious about the final result because I don't remember a so strong field in the Transcontinental with so many riders so strong at this point of the race. When there are so many fast riders that you can spy their route in advance. I think he's allowed because it's...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I think it's a tactic to stay just behind and then...
Just have a look because I don't want to...
A sprint finish is you stay tactically behind, follow the line, and then you come out just at the end. Just a long, long sprint.
Just a 1,000-kilometre sprint at the end. That's.
I think that there's no... It would be really unusual for ultra-cycling... But let's see. This year, everything can happen, I think.
Before we head over to the team in Control Car 2, another dispatch from Andrew Phillips, cap 00A, who yesterday was really questioning his why.
Yesterday was a real slog. Through Sweden, it was grey, it was windy, crosswinds, headwinds, rarely a tailwind. There was a lot of traffic. Swedish drivers are very good, so it was never dangerous, but it was just annoying. And it just means that you can't sort of relax and enjoy your surroundings. But after 326k through Sweden, I made it to Estad last night and caught the ferry over to Vinnytsia this morning, and got off and I'm cycling, and I am enjoying myself again. Beautiful forests of Poland, some really pretty bad roads. I don't know if you can hear my bike getting shaken apart. Yeah, very little traffic, forests and gravel tracks and rivers, and it's lovely. And it's kind of restored my faith that there's a why, which is just as simple as to enjoy ourselves in the moment. So let's hope this feeling lasts for another 12 hours or so, because I've got a lot of distance to do.
Good morning, everyone. In control car number 2, we are in Nysa in Poland, where we left the highway because we are on our direction to Parku 2, and we left the highway because we saw a rider was next to a train station. I actually got to talk to him 1 minute before the train left, and we stopped because we saw someone looking like Napoleon walking in the streets, and it seemed like there is a replica of a battle. I will have to look up what it is exactly, but basically it's maybe 100 of people wearing I hope it's fake weapons, and getting dressed like very much like 80s century battle. So yeah, that's funny to see. This is not what we expected when we stopped to go to the train station, but this is the marvelous thing about traveling with TCR. You never know what you're going to see.
The rider boarding the train was Pierre-Yves Fontaine, cap 411A, whose pair's partner, Adrien Mabillot, had already scratched the day before. Until then, they'd been leading the pair's category.
How are you? What are you doing in a train?
I scratched definitively, and I was in pair with Adrien, and I have also knee pain, so that's why I'm here in this train direction, Borklo, I think, and what a surprise to see you.
Yeah, we saw your pin in the train station, okay. So yeah, I saw your stories yesterday.
Adrien is already scratched yesterday, so I'm the second one. The pair is officially
done.
Okay. And that's the life, and we will come back another day, another year, sorry. And
how do you feel? I know it must be...
Well, it's mixed feeling. Obviously, we need to... We need to listen to our body, and I think it's not a failure, it's always a learning, not deception.
Prioritizing your body and your health, I think it's the good call. The train is going.
Thank you. Bye.
We drove 3 hours this morning, 3 or 4 hours this morning, and we just made it to the top of the parkour 2A, which is an out and back. So we are at 1490 meters of elevation at the moment. Pretty chill, it's cool, but the sun is there, so that's nice. And we are also on a weekend, which means it's super crowded. There is a lot of hikers, because the last 3 kilometers people have to walk. So a lot of hikers and a lot of cyclists also on the roads, which makes our job a bit harder, because it's hard for us to know, especially for sound photographer, to know if the rider she's actually shooting is one of us, or like just a random cyclist. But once they arrive, it's quite easy to recognize because like they have bags on their back, and yeah, if they remove their glasses, they look a tiny bit tired, if I may say so. Even if they still have a smile on their face, because the climb was not a piece of cake. So they are happy, definitely happy to make it to the top, and now they have like a really, really good tarmac downhill to enjoy.
After more than 2,000 kilometers in the legs, having experienced freezing cold temperatures, sleepless nights, and long searches for food, sometimes, you know, you just need to speak to your mum. Daniel Molino, Cap 230.
So just half of it left now?
Yeah, something like it now. Maybe, I think I have like 2,300 or something. And my route, in general, I think it's between 4,800 and 5,000, something like that.
So how do you feel it? Is it like the glass is half empty or the glass is half full?
Ah, this changes every hour. This morning I was talking to my mom and I was like, hey, I'm just so tired. I slept 6 hours. I'm still so tired. And now I'm like super, doing super well.
What did your mom say?
She said to take it easy.
So, she's a mom.
Yeah, of course.
She's a mom.
The last time we heard from Maxime Prieur, Cap 164, he was showing off his sausage in Sweden. And now Sophie catches him foraging for mushrooms.
Oh, les champignons! T'as trouvé des champignons ou pas? We call you mushroom guy now.
Yeah, but I have a second nickname now. It's the hot dog guys of the TCR.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know.
So today I found two hot dogs, but no good mushroom. It's a bad day for me.
It's a bad day. It's a bad day for food.
It's a bad day for food.
But is it a good day on the bike?
Yeah, I love to climb. So today is an amazing day for me. Very powerful because it's very hard. But I love it. It's much better than the flat when you are skinny, you know.
Are you tired?
Yeah, of course. But last night I do some urbex. I don't know. So I found a house in construction.
Yeah.
And I go sleep inside. So my fatigue is not too bad.
Yeah.
But
good
night
sleep.
I smell very bad. I need to find an hotel for tonight.
I won't comment on that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, I'm going to let you go to your next hot dog.
Yeah, a mushroom.
And mushroom. I hope you will find some.
I will send to you a picture.
Yes, please do. Please do.
Definitely.
Camille Albisser, Cap 270, and Sarah Boslett, Cap 120, have been at the front of the flinter category for the last 48 hours. But Anna Colquist, Cap 223, continues to hold position as one of a few chasing riders.
How are you? You have a big smile on your face.
I am, yeah. I'm actually quite annoyed, but...
Why?
I don't know, my route... No, I'm happy. This is beautiful. I'm at the top of the parkour, almost.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't trust my route planning today. I've just been across, like, terrible, like, washboardy gravel and awful surface tarmac. And it's all just been a bit slow, but otherwise, we're good.
Yeah. Have you been eating something delicious today?
Oh, I had a gas station camembert and egg baguette.
Camembert and egg?
It's really bizarre, but it was very tasty.
Yeah?
I think that's the best thing I've eaten today. Otherwise, I'm just on those like little squeezy pouches of like fruit smoothies, porridge, yogurts.
Something where you don't have to chew.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think I just get so bored of eating and like my mouth is dry and... I don't yet have blisters, which is a good start.
Yeah.
But it's just difficult to chew and a bit painful. I was eating crisps yesterday and I was like taking a few crisps, then needing a sip of water and just kind of like mixing it into porridge in my mouth.
Which
is fairly gross.
Yeah. No, I see what you mean. You've been eating a lot, so baby food it is now.
Baby food it is. Baby food is great.
Perfect.
Time for another Sophie Explains.
One thing you've probably noticed is that TCR riders spend all day eating sugar. If you listen to yesterday's Sophie Explains, you will know why. Carbohydrates are the fastest fuel the body can use. But if riders spend all day eating sugar, how do they avoid destroying their teeth? And the answer starts with something surprising. Your mouth is home to an entire ecosystem. More than 700 different species of bacteria live there, forming what's called the oral microbiome. And despite what many people think, most of these bacteria are actually good for you. They help keep harmful microbes under control and play an important role in keeping your mouth healthy. Normally, they are living all together in balance, but every time you eat sugar, that balance changes. One of the bacteria that love sugar the most is called Streptococcus mutans. When it feeds on sugar, it produces acid as a waste product. And that acid, not the sugar itself, it is what attacks your teeth. To understand why that is a problem, let's take a quick look at a tooth. The outside is covered by enamel. It's the hardest substance in the entire human body, so harder than robin legs. Underneath is a softer layer called dentin. And in the center is the pulp where you will find nerves and blood vessels. The enamel is extremely strong, but it's made of minerals, and acids can slowly dissolve those minerals away. Dentists call this process demineralization. The surprising part is how quickly it starts. Within just a few minutes of eating sugar, the bacteria begin producing acid. The pH inside your mouth drops, and every acid attack usually lasts around 20 to 30 minutes. Normally, that's not a huge problem. Your saliva is constantly working to protect your teeth. It neutralizes the acid, it washes away the food, and it replaces the minerals that have been lost, repairing the enamel. But during the TCR, riders don't eat every few hours, they eat every 20 to 30 minutes. So instead of one acid attack, they start another one, and another one, and another one. Their mouths can spend most of the day in the acidic environment. And cycling makes things even harder. Long hours on the bike often means dehydration. Riders breathe through their mouth, the wind dries everything out, that means less saliva, and less saliva means less protection. Some riders also drink really acidic drinks like Coca-Cola. Those drinks lower the pH immediately, even before bacteria have had a chance to feed on the sugar. And for some riders, long hours on the bike can either trigger acid reflux, bringing stomach acid into the mouth and adding yet another source of acid. So, should riders brush their teeth after every energy gel? Actually, no. Whenever the pH in your mouth drops, whether because you drank something acid or because bacteria have turned sugar into acid, the outer surface of the enamel temporarily loses some of its material, like we said before. It's not permanently damaged, but it does become more vulnerable. Your saliva needs time to replace those minerals and harden the enamel again. That's why dentists usually recommend waiting about 30 minutes before brushing your teeth after a meal. So not exactly practical during a bike race to brush your teeth after every time you eat something. So for TCR riders, the priority is simple. Brush well before bed, even if bed is a bus stop. And if possible, rinse your mouth with water after eating or drinking something sugary. Unlike your bike, your teeth don't come with spare parts. Brushing your teeth isn't just about fresh breath. So take care of your teeth, brush them properly for at least 2 to 3 minutes. Because if you don't, your dentist might finally be able to afford that third S-Works you've been dreaming your whole life.
As more riders pass through Parkour 2A, Sophie catches up with Mike Fawcett, Cap 53.
It makes no difference, of course, over such a short distance, but I still find myself constantly thinking about who's in front and who's behind.
Really?
Yeah, it's terrible. I waste a lot of mental energy.
Maybe it's a way to focus, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you do want to keep an eye of your progress, I suppose, in relation to other people, maybe, but I think it's so important as well to go at your pace.
It is.
I think I should work a bit harder at doing that. Maybe stop checking the track so much and just ride my race.
Do you feel you are on the edge of your capacity, or?
Yeah, I would say so, yeah. Hmm. Yeah. With maybe one exception this morning, I looked at my alarm going off and just turned it off and went back to sleep.
Treat yourself in a few more minutes.
Well, it ended up being an hour and a half.
Like a few more hours.
Yeah.
With Pierre-Yves and Adrian, caps 411 A and B out of the race, there are now two pairs fighting it out at the front of the pairs category. The first of those is Remy Majon and Marguerite Mulhouse, caps 414 A and B. They speak to Hannah Lobelestier, race coordinator, who's taken up the mic from Sophie.
Have you been racing any other pairs or looking at the tracker at all? Or are you just riding to your own pace?
Well,
at the moment,
yes, we
just keep the spirit high. We try to have some quality rest and just be as fast as possible on the bike. And we'll see in a few days because we are still a really long way to go.
Do you have anything that you do in particular to keep your spirits high?
Sleep a lot.
Sleep. Yes. Sleep is key.
Yes.
Sleep is key.
And sometimes we ring the bell.
Ring the bell, the bike bell.
Yes. Yes.
Give me a ring.
Our other pair at the top of the pairs category is Christian Dupraz and Dina Byland, caps 424 A and B.
So you raced TCR last year together, and it came to a bit of a sticky end when Dina's frame snapped and you had to weld it together. Is this your second race together now?
Yeah, it's Dina's second ultra and our second together, yeah.
And have you come into this one feeling competitive and wanting to win the pairs category, or do you just want to come and have a nice time together?
The second one, I would say, so because the first one it's not possible for me, so but the second one is possible to have a nice time and arrive in a good time there.
What do you mean it's not possible for you?
Yeah, there are faster people than I, and so I like more to have a nice day.
While they may not have started the race as a pair, Jana Kessenheimer and Christian Holweck continue to ride together outside of general classification, though they nearly had to scratch due to Christian experiencing knee pain.
How have your motivations changed, having gone from racing in GC to now kind of riding out of GC but still feeling competitive and wanting to go as fast as you can, to then taking a break and now going again? Yeah. Like, what's motivating you, and what are your ambitions?
It's a TCR full of plot twists.
Yeah, like I think the worst part was really in Sweden when we got the hotel, because I think we were kind of like, I think it was fine when we made the decision together,
yeah,
like to keep going then together.
But then just one day later.
Yeah, which felt like a joke. Like,
I felt like, okay, now I dropped GC, I dropped my race just to stop now. Like, it was really frustrating.
And I felt obviously super bad.
But we found a really great hotel with fluffy white pillows to cry in. That helped.
Might have happened then. Yeah, and now, I don't know, I think, like, we were kind of, yesterday we were establishing our rhythm that we wanted to do actually since 2 days.
Yeah, it's a bit hard to, like, shake off the race spirit. Like, we're still, I'm still watching the tracker, and of course it's also really cool to see what is going up in front, especially for the Flinter race. So this is really cool.
Maximilian Searing, cap 264, is trying to work out what to do, having left a fairly important part of his riding equipment behind.
I lost my left knee somehow in Norway. It's still there.
Okay.
Conserved in ice forever. But I really only have one leg. And I don't want to sound like boastful or anything, like I'm going up the mountain on one leg. It's not the case.
No.
It's just incredibly painful.
Yeah. Yeah, to explain the situation, you're carrying your bike on your back because you are on parkour too. And there is a bit of hiker bike.
There's a bit of hiker bike. Cycling on one leg is not the greatest idea. And some people have to do it, so all respects to them, but I'd rather use both of mine. I feel super, 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 super fit, and I trained for exactly these kinds of climbs, long, steep, and here I am carrying my bike. It's not the greatest feeling, but it's also not the worst, you know?
When dot watching, it's easy to assume that all those dots bunched together means that riders bump into each other all the time. But over such long distances, that's not necessarily the case. Ellen Fromanty, cap 134.
Have you seen many other riders out on the route?
No, I mean, it's been 48 hours since I haven't seen anybody. I just saw two riders this afternoon quickly, and also I met Jana and Christian on the way here. But yeah, for almost 2 days, I didn't see anyone.
It's so funny because for anyone watching, yeah, they can see everyone so kind of densely packed,
yeah, exactly,
going through Poland and Czechia. But yeah, actually, the reality of it on the road is very different.
Yeah, completely. But yeah, I didn't see so many people for such a long time. So I was in the end happy when I met the guy on the road a bit earlier, but also like, oh, I'm not alone in this country doing this race. So yeah, let's see how it goes. The next day maybe there will be a bit less options, and so probably we meet a bit more.
Finally, Nicole van Battenberg, Cap 29. Sleep is always a hot topic at TCR, and getting your sleep strategy right is crucial. But everyone is different, and one thing all riders can agree on: the more you sleep, the better you feel.
You've crossed Poland and you're in Czechia.
Mm-hmm.
How's the change of scenery treating you?
Oh, it's beautiful. Yeah. From like the first 40 minutes that I was here, I was like, this is gorgeous compared to Poland. I really didn't like it that much. I made some route mistakes again. Mm-hmm. Ended up being on a lot of gravel paths. So yeah, but it was actually quite nice as well to be a bit more in the woods and see something else. Yeah, but I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Probably because I'm sleeping a lot. Like, again, I set alarms and then I sleep through them. And so I'm just sleeping a lot, and that really helps for enjoying the race more.
Nice. Has that approach kind of changed since the race started?
Well, I know, like, in the past, I never really slept a lot during ultras.
Yeah.
But the last couple of, last year, I started to realize sleeping really helps. Yeah. So I've changed my approach and just, sleep much more and try to enjoy. Yeah, I'm kind of like, I want to keep enjoying it all the time. And I've had two nights now where I was nearly crying because I was too tired. And I'm just not doing that anymore.
Time for the recap of the day. So today, after apparently reaching 88 miles per hour at Nice's annual historical festival, we headed out to the parcours 2A, where many riders here reach one big milestone, the halfway. After 6 days of racing, many admitted that they simply cannot keep the pace they held during the first week, so because the race is still long. So now the strategy is changing: a little more recovery, a slightly easier pace, because the rank in the general classification only matters if you make it to Kalamata. The rest is just cherry on the top. So far, 69 riders have scratched the race, which means they are no longer racing TCR. Scratching is part of the race, but that doesn't make the decision any easier. I've been there, and trust me, sometimes stopping is much harder than simply carrying on, because pain in the legs is one thing, but pain in your heart is much harder to carry. So to every rider who scratched today or in the days before, remember one thing: the finish line is one part of the race. It doesn't define the courage it took to stand on the start line. Gossip Girl moment.
Gossip Girl is real?
Robert Muller, Cap 37, was spotted giving every TCR rider some free mechanical advice. How gentleman of him. After his lightweight cassette snapped clean in two, leaving him, well, with half a cassette, he simply wrote, "Don't buy Chinese lightweight cassette to save 220 grams. Well, if you look on the bright side, his bike is even lighter now. Florent de Boisville, Cap 381, was seen fighting a fierce battle against an ant who had his eye on his salami. But the story doesn't say whether the ant managed to steal a bite or whether Florent accidentally ate the ant instead. Well, protein is important. Tomorrow in Control Car number 2, we are sticking around Parkour 2 to get you more story from the road. And tomorrow it will be 1 week that the riders have been out there. And I think I can say that that's a good holiday. So don't stay up too late tonight. Good night and good ride, everyone.
Don't forget, you can read Jake's daily race reports from the road on the Lost Dot website and get regular updates across all our social media channels. thanks to our race partners, Albion, Apadura, Curve, POC, Supernova, Ride with GPS, and Peak Design.